welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here.
Hello, everyone. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. So happy to be here with you. I hope today is a good day. I hope that if it isn't, I can bring you some solace with the conversations that we are going to have on the podcast. So today, I bring you another installation of a Q&A conversation with my membership community. These are people just like you, exactly like you, walking this path, doing this work, experiencing whatever difficulties and confusions that come with knowing thyself and doing mind-body work. And they are members of my community. And so we do two times a month, we get together on Zoom. One is for a Q&A, and that was today, and they were generous enough to allow me to share that with you. So that's going to be the podcast today. And I really encourage you, if you really do need my personal help, I get a lot of emails of people asking, join my membership community for $99 a month, less than one therapy session. You get two Zooms with me, one of which is going to be just like today. And one is a really big, long community session where you get to really walk the path with other people. So go to my website if you're interested, thecureforchronicpain.com, and scroll down just a touch. You'll see the button to join. And the reason I continue to offer this to you is because I do receive just droves of emails asking me personal questions for oneself, and I just want to help as many people as possible. So this is the way. And of course, if you're able to come live and in person, my Omega Retreat, June 23rd to the 28th in Rhinebeck, New York, it is filling up. The accommodations are going to sell out. So if you are interested, I would secure your spot today. Go to eomega.org and search my name, Nicole Sachs, or just go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, and click on the Retreats tab. So good to be there together. All right, guys. So not much else to say in terms of housekeeping, just wanting to always avail you of whatever resources you need to get your questions answered, to feel connected, to feel like you're in the middle of the boat, because that is so important. Remember, what we are doing in this work is providing your brain and your nervous system with a sense of safety. When you are in a state of fight or flight, it is almost impossible for all of your systems to regulate. And this is, you know, many of the problems that you guys bring me: inflammation, muscle constriction and spasm, problems with the gut, migraine headaches, different muscle, you know, problems in terms of back and neck and shoulder and knee and hip, and there's joint pain, neuropathy. I mean, so much of what's going on in the human body is as a result of the dysregulated nervous system and the messages that sends the brain to send the body. The pain is not in your head. The pain is as real can be. It is just coming from this dysregulation. And when we do this work, this mind-body work, which is mindset, which I teach you, which we marinate in, which is doing the work, which is a journal speak practice and meditation, and which is patience and kindness for yourself. We just talked last week about self-compassion on the podcast. If you haven't heard it, go back. I'm getting a lot of good feedback. It is helping people understand what it is actually to be self-compassionate. So when you put those things together, we lower the emotional reservoir, we stop triggering our system into fight or flight, and the chronic symptoms just fall away. I have some really fun success stories coming up for the spring that I have been talking to people, and they are all going to be aired on this podcast in the coming weeks and months. So you'll have a lot more fodder for inspiration for your own journey. So, okay, well, enjoy this conversation. I love being with my community. I get to know them, and I just really love that they're generous enough to offer this to you. So enjoy.
Hi, Nicole. So my question is on kind of adjunct therapies. I know I've read that, you know, like acupuncture, physical therapy, a lot of times when you're doing chronic pain work, they're not, you know, recommended. And, so I'm a Reiki master, a Reiki practitioner, although I don't have a business, but I do it. And I have noticed, having Reiki treatment and giving Reiki treatment to other people, that it can cause a reduction in pain. However, it does not cure the chronic pain. Like, it's never completely fixed my chronic pain. And my question is, do you feel like it still could be a complementary path to kind of go on to use it while you're doing? Because what I've noticed, sometimes it might not decrease the pain, but it can decrease your stress levels, which for me, if I can get my stress levels down, then I feel like I can do the work a little bit easier.
Yes, it's a great question. So remember that we have one end in mind. We want to communicate safety to the nervous system. So the reason that Dr. Sarno and others in the field have said, lay off kind of physical practices that are going to lean into there's something wrong with your body is because people back in the day, they would try to do this work, but then they'd be in physical therapy 2 days a week. And every time they went to physical therapy, it was very hard to shut off that part of their brain that said, I need something to be manipulated in my body in order to be well. The way I look at it is this, and you may have heard me say this before, everything in life comes down to do we see it through a lens of love or do we see it through a lens of fear? And I can go into that same Reiki session with a lens of fear, which is, oh my God, please, somebody just do something to me, fix me, manipulate me, change my energy, make me better. You will feel worse all day after that because the desperation and the fear that you went into it with is not helpful. But if you go into it like, listen, I understand mind body medicine. I know the reason I'm in pain is because my nervous system is dysregulated. I'm doing everything. I'm practicing self-compassion. I'm doing my journal speak. I'm emptying my reservoir. I'm marinating in the belief. I'm listening to the podcasts. I'm being in this community. When that happens and you look at it through a lens of love, and wonderful, what's a great addition? Let me just be in Reiki. Let me get my energy balanced. Let me go to acupuncture. Let me partner with this beautiful practitioner who's in it with me. Like that is such a different outcome. So there, it is not that I don't believe in other things. It's that if you go into it, even if it's just a massage, if you go into it with an energy of I need this to fix me, that desperation puts you in the opposite direction. So it's a great question. Thank you, Carrie. Camilla.
Hi, returning to the question that I posted in the group. I have this new acute injury. I strained my MCL in my knee. And I wanted your input on how to prevent that issue from becoming a chronic pain issue. Because my other injuries have become chronic pain points. So any input on how to like regulate the nervous system like while healing. I mean, I'm sure it's probably all the same stuff, like sending my body messages of safety and going through my rehab as I need to, not being afraid of pain, et cetera, but any other professional insight would be wonderful.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember I read your question on the group, and that's why I asked you to ask it here because I think it's really important. So, the energy that we must give injury in order for it to not become part of this TMS world is nothing. The energy is I don't care. Now, I understand you care, but the energy is bored, nonplussed. Okay, for example, if you cut your finger and I treated it with, I cleaned it up, I put some little antibacterial cream on it and I put a Band-Aid on it, would you sit all day and be like, is it healing? Is it healing? Am I wondering? No, you'd be like, duh, I cut myself. It's kind of a bummer, but it will heal. And you would just go about your life and you'd change the Band-Aid. And then a few days from now, you'd be like, oh shit, the Band-Aid fell off and I don't even need it. And then you take a shower and the next day you wouldn't notice it. And that is how we need to approach everything. The body seeks healing. Body is on its way to healing. There's no reason to monitor it, to obsess on it, to connect it to anything that's ever happened to you before. You strained your MCL. My stepdaughter, well, my Kate, Lisa's daughter, it's so funny, like she's still my daughter, but she strained her MCL when she was skiing. We were skiing over Christmas and she had to miss the whole entire time of skiing. So it was a super bummer. And in the back of my head, I'm like, oh God, is this going to become like a chronic thing? And it's so funny when it's somebody who doesn't think the way we think.
She was playing soccer the next week. Like, and I was like, oh, do you think she's okay? And I thought, I'm not even going to ask. And it's been months and she's completely fine because it was a strain. She did have, you know, an MRI. She knew it wasn't a tear. So she knew she didn't need surgery or anything like that. So I really think we need to take a page from that book, which is picture it like it's a cut on your arm. Picture it like it's a cut that didn't need stitches because it didn't. And, you know, just okay, whatever, you know, go do about your business because the energy of fear and of meaning is what makes it chronic.
Thank you. And I think I now that I'm thinking about it, I think it holds so much meaning for me because I've been such a high level athlete my whole life and still have professional aspirations and still play at that level. So it's not only just the pain that's the issue, it's the identity issue that comes along with it. And when I'm not competing in my sport, how painful that is for me.
Right.
So.
Exactly. And I think that's what you have to just know about yourself and then say, okay, that's great. I have all these aspirations. My knee will heal. Just moving on.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Christine, you're up.
You talk about the three components of belief, doing the work, and kindness for self. And I don't know if this is part of one of those or another component, but what's coming up for me, I mean, it's sort of personality traits, but it's deep self-examination, like looking at my core beliefs and possible self-sabotage. And, you know, it's like being honest with myself about what's really going on and if there's resistance and stuff. And in fact, it came up a bit in the 28-day challenge this week. Where I said, sometimes when I'm doing journal speak, I have to say to myself, or I do say to myself, do I really want to get better? And then, you know, I don't want to ask that question. It terrifies me, you know, or do I deserve to get better? So, whatever you have to say about
There are
that.
two things I want to say. The first thing I want to say, and this is just an overall thing about journal speak, part of the reason journal speak is so successful for people is we hear our own shit enough times that we become bored of it. We don't, it doesn't hold the power it holds. So yes, it's about like the undoing of the reservoir and all the things we're always talking about, but it's also like when you sit with things for long enough, you truly are, it's a natural consequence to allow them to go. So that's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to say to you, Christine, is that these are fantastic, brave questions, and they are essential questions. And when they come up, our first reaction may be to look away. I don't want to look at that. Oh my God, that's like antithetical to everything we're doing here. Why would I even say that? Why would I even think it? I want you to treat it just like any other journal speak moment, just like I hate my kids. You know, I don't like my ailing mother, even though I'm taking care of her, you know, all the things that are like so inappropriate that people have to say because they don't stay true. They're here. They're that tree that's falling in the forest. And, you know, we can choose not to hear them, but then they're going to fall through our stomachs and our heads and our fibro and our backs and whatever is the thing that is making you suffer. And so ask those questions, dance with those questions. Welcome those questions. Put your arms around those questions. I don't deserve to feel better. Wow, how fascinating. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Like, there's nothing to be afraid of. Whatever you might think is going to fall like that tree without your attention, or is going to be part of the solution with your attention. And so that's the way to meet that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel afraid to ask them. I just feel like I need to ask the hard questions and the ones that are scariest to ask, and I'm most resistant to ask. So,
Yes.
just putting that out there.
Thank you. That was very helpful. Terry.
So, my question today was actually stems from Danny Fagan, who had posted something on her Instagram, and it was that feelings of failing, like perception of the potential of not living up to high expectations, right? Like as one of the things that we do to ourselves. And It really resonated with me because I have people in my life that I have relationships with where how they act towards me are real triggers. And, you know, then I kind of go in my head, I'm like, all right, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing but expecting a different outcome, which I realize, you know, and so my very long-winded question in a situation like that, where it is, I have a feeling of failing somebody, and I've tried to address this with them in the past, and this is a trigger situation for me. How, like, what do I do so that, and I know, like, in my head, I hear you going, wear it loosely, and it's like, okay, yes, I need to wear it loosely, but, like, how the fuck do I do that? Because these are just really triggers, and these are really big things, and these people are not changing. So it's up to me to change, right? So how do I change me? Like, what's the answer there?
The answer is honestly too super simple, which is great. And it's the answer I have to employ with myself a lot, which is life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. And how long do I want to suffer? These people are not going to change. I'm allowing them to create a reflection on my own self-worth because of the fact that I'm interacting with this situation that isn't changing. So do I want to pick up that, you know, flaming bag of dog shit or not? Like, honestly, that is the way where it comes down to, like, do I want to suffer or not? And I know that that sounds maybe a little trite, but it works because that is where you get to radical acceptance. When you put those two options in front of you and you say life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. Okay. So if the bottom line is I'm going to interact with this person, if that's a given, great. Do I want to interact with this person and allow it to constantly be something I'm going back to, I'm thinking about, I'm analyzing, I'm being with this whole whirl of emotions? You can choose that, by the way. Some people do. And some people do until they are able to see the scale shift. Or am I going to be with this person and just say, you know what? There she is. There they are. There he is. Oh, well, here we are. Since I'm not yet willing to cut that person out of my life, here we are. Wow. You know, one thing Ram Dass always says is, that's a beautiful example of a total asshole. Wow. Fascinating to be with such a perfect example. You know, like, it's just, there's just a change in energy where you get to choose how you respond to people that aren't going to change. And I do it all the time. And it works with family and it works with coworkers and it works with partners and it works with, you know, people, friends. And because you always have a choice to not have someone in your life. No one has a gun to your head to have anyone in your life. But if you choose the person, you have to choose the way you meet that. And it's less emotional than you realize when you start to think about it that way.
So it's really like what you're saying is, it's part of it. A big part of it is acceptance, right? And, but here's the question. Can you truly accept, but still be angry? Or does true acceptance mean that you've sort of, whatever, right? Like,
that's why a journal speak practice, because like there's a person right now in my life that I think, yeah, that person makes me really angry. And there are things about that anger that has nothing to do with that person. There are things about that anger that have to do with things that I don't like that I tolerate, or I don't like that I let go. Conflict. So I take that to my journal speak practice and I feel all that anger. And then when I'm with that person, I'm just with that person. There they are. They're not going to change. And that is really that's the key. Thank you, Terry. Okay, Jamie.
I've been listening to The Body Keeps the Score. I've like stayed away from it for a while, but it's really a great book. And I just wanted to ask if other people felt this way too, but in this uncovering process of journal speak and looking at what is my trauma, and I don't have any big T trauma that I know about. Well, I have medium trauma, but I keep wanting to look for the big T trauma. Like, where is it? Why am I holding on so tight? You know, and I did a session with my therapist, EMDR session around my child who's been, was so difficult. I wrote about it on the site. And what happened toward the end was that I was able to get some peace and equanimity. And like, I'm like, but I don't want that yet. Like, there's a part of me that's just really wants to hold on to the trauma. Like, I want to find it. I want to, and I don't think that's helpful. So I just wanted to ask if you had any response to that.
I do have a response. And this is a very similar question to Christine's. Like, sometimes you just have to play with what is. So if you have some sort of like a, just a little tendency to be like, I'm not ready to let this go yet. Play with it. Like, let's, I'm always telling you guys this, but let's all take ourselves just a touch less seriously. Like, yes, that's a great book. And yes, it's great to, you know, explore. And I'm not at all against any of it, but it has to be done with wearing it loosely, which is you look at your trauma, you look at your history and you go, oh, that's interesting. Can I ask under why I don't want to let it go? You know, it reminds me of one of the most beautiful moments in Circle at Omega when that young girl said, I'm feeling so much better, but I know that there's a percentage of my pain that I'm not willing to let go because I want my suffering to have mattered. It was just such a beautiful moment because it just was like, wow, what insight to know that you feel like if you let your pain go, your suffering will not have mattered, which of course is not true, but just being able to say that. And I see, Jamie, you're connecting with that because of the emotion on your face, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Yes.
Just cry for a while more.
Yes. Thank you, sweetheart. And I think that's like really so important for all of us to recognize that there can be a misunderstanding between ourselves and ourselves where we think, if I allow myself to feel totally well and healthy, will my suffering have mattered? And I really just want to make sure that you guys know the answer is yes. And it is up to each of us to honor that little person inside that has suffered. And that's the only thing that matters. And we can also be well. Thank you, Jamie. Margalite.
Hi, Nicole. Wow, that was powerful. When you said that, it just like choked me up. And I'm sure a lot of people on the call might feel the same way. A lot of heads nodding. So thank you for that gem. Really. I'm already like feeling emotional. And this isn't even my question. but yeah, I mean, everybody's questions are a gift for all of us. So just thank you, everyone. I want to share a win before I share my challenge, just in the fact that, so I started listening to you in October and doing journal speak. And since then, been able to do so much more physically, which is what I love to do, to move my body. And was able to dance at a wedding, was able to walk again more. And yeah, and I'm very grateful for that. And I hired a nutritionist, which helped me like figure out what to eat, because I had all this fear about like, I don't know what to eat. And that has really helped me. My guts was so much better. So I just wanted to share. Oh, and then a really big win was that a couple weeks ago, I did my first in-person training of like for 100 people, which I wasn't able to do over a year ago. So I was just feeling so great. What?
Amazing. I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you. So thank you so much. But about a week ago, I had like a little trip and my friend caught me. So it really wasn't like a big thing, but the fear that just like came into me, she said, like, you just turned white. And she was a very supportive friend. She was like, sit down, it's okay, you're fine. But I just said, I can't go back. And I just had all this anxiety for like that day, the next day. And I just focused on calming my nervous system down, telling myself I was okay. I was a little sore, but I kept like ignoring it. But it kind of triggered. But that was like 2 days before my anniversary of my best friend who committed suicide. And that was Friday. And I thought I was fine. And I did like this little ceremony. I took for a walk. And I just have now gut stuff. Gut is like, I think I shared it on the Facebook group. And I think I wanted to share like, okay, is it what I ate that day? Because I was like a little, oh, I shouldn't have had that coffee. And like, no, 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 it's probably, look what this day is. This is a huge freaking day. Anyway, I just, so in terms of grief, it's a different animal, it feels a bit for me. And so I just was hoping maybe to get some.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
With that. It's like traumatic grief too. Like I've had grief before, but this just is a different kind.
Yes. Yes. So let me say first briefly about the gut stuff. I've heard many, many times over the years, specifically the gut is connected to grief. The gut is connected to feeling like something is just churning within us that we don't know how to let go, because grief needs to be held. Think about anything that's suffering, a child who's crying and doesn't want to go to bed. The last thing that's going to work is saying, I'm done with you, now go to bed. The thing that works is to hold them and to be with them and to be and to share space till they feel safe to go to bed. And that is hard. And you know what? As a parent, it's hard to do it for someone else. And it's also hard to do it within ourselves, because unfortunately, we just want that grief to go. It's inconvenient. It's causing the gut stuff. It's causing us to feel like we're thinking about something painful that we'd prefer not to think about. But you know, it all comes back to the adage, what we resist persists. And I will promise you, honey, that if you open the full floodgates and let your beautiful friend and all that pain wash over you, it will not drown you. You will be able to float in it. You will be able to hold space for her and for yourself. And because of that, that is the way it is going to pass. So the first thing I'll say is never, ever, ever fall into the thinking, was it that coffee? Was it that tomato? Like, don't do that to yourself, because it's not helpful. But instead, like, remember Gigi's whole thing? The gut stuff is the alarm bell that's ringing. And when you say, was it the coffee? Was it the food? It's like taking your fire hose and dousing the alarm bell. You want to turn around and put the hose on the fire, which is being with the grief, being with the fear, being with the whatever feelings that arrive. So you're doing a beautiful, beautiful job. Your wins are inspiring to everyone. And I think this is just a beautiful acknowledgement that this is a human life. We don't get out of it without having big feelings, because that's what we're here for. And that's why we love. You know, the reason that you're so devastated is you were able to love. And I'm sorry, guys, as much as it really sucks, it's also the best thing we've got as human beings. And so, you know, sit with the hard thing. I feel you. I can tell you for 10 hours how much I feel you, and also how hard it is, and also how necessary it is.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you.
Thank you. Okay, McKenna.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, so my question came from actually the Q&A last week when we were talking about grinding your teeth, and which I also do that as well. I know a lot of TMSers, it seems that's an issue. And I have a symptom that I didn't really relate to that until you were talking about that last week, how like the pain that maybe is attributed to teeth grinding, like that's the TMS, but like the teeth grinding itself isn't actually TMS. But I have an issue that it's kind of gross, but I like burp or like belch, I don't know which is the more polite term. They're both kind of gross, but like, especially after I eat or like, but it's not just that. It's definitely when I get nervous or stressed.
The TMS equivalent for sure.
Yeah. And it's okay. Well, that's great. That was my question basically, because it doesn't cause any pain, but it really definitely affects my life. And like, even, yeah, like it's very interesting with like, I know I have TMS around like intimacy issues with like pelvic pain. And even like when I'm seeing a new person, even with like being intimate with them, like then I will start to have this like burping again. Like it's like my body trying to like stop me from that. And it's so that is the same as like TMS, like that burping will stop.
Yes.
The work and okay.
Also about connecting and knowing that the burping is TMS. I've heard it many times over the years. Mm-hmm. Myself, my oldest daughter was telling me, and I've noticed it in her that she has it, especially when she's nervous or anxious. It's just straight up normal. And the best way to deal with that kind of specific kind of symptom, in addition to all the work that we always do, is kind of similar to what I was saying about the knee injury, the MCL. It's just like, you can't give it anything. Oh yeah. Hi, I see you, you know, right. You're here. I'm feeling a little anxious. Okay. Well, come or go as you need. And it's, I know it's annoying, but that, like, it just needs to receive the energy of, you know, you're here and I got you, but you're boring and I don't need you. So I'm just going to carry on, leave when you want. It's like when you show someone the door and then you get busy, eventually you're just going to leave because it's like awkward.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. That's reassuring.
Thank you, McKenna. Okay, Paige.
So I feel a little nervous to ask this because I've been doing journaling probably a year, mostly daily, and yet it feels like everybody else feels their emotions when they write. I feel like I'm kind of phoning it in a little bit with, like, I don't do the court reporter. I write about feelings, but I don't feel them. Yet I feel feelings in my life randomly. So I don't know how to, like, tune into that. Like, you always say save it for journal speak, but here I'm like crying at a fucking commercial and I feel bad because I don't want to, like, my kids to think I'm always depressed. But yet I go to journal speak and I just can't seem to tap into what I'm actually writing about. So if you have any, like, tips.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, well, the first thing I'll say is don't need anything to be anything. Like, I feel like we put pressure on ourselves. Like, I'm sitting down to journal speak. Wow, I better, it's time to feel, you know? And I think normal, like, and natural to kind of default into that. So I think it's important to be aware that that might be happening for you. And also, typical type T personality, you know, like, I want to do it right. And I want to get an A and I want to be like the journal speaker. And so first of all, the one thing I'll say is you can feel your feelings from a tissue commercial. Like, it's okay. You know, like, it's actually not wasted to allow yourself. And what I do sometimes, if that happens to me, is I allow myself to go other places that are totally unrelated. So if I'm watching a movie and I really start to cry because the movie's affecting me, I'll, like, do a quick little mental search of, like, what else am I sad about? You know, am I sad about my son struggling? Am I sad about, you know, something that happened that was a disappointment? And I allow it to connect. It's almost a little gratuitous. It's almost like, oh, and then what? And then what? You know, but, like, it's actually helpful. So don't discount, first of all, just don't discount those moments. And then the next thing I'll say is play around with a little inner child work. So when you're on your journal speak, instead of just talking from grown-up page and the mother and the responsible person, find places where, like, you have a memory or you have an inkling that there is, like, a 12-year-old you or a 15-year-old you or even, like, a 4 or 5-year-old you. And you're like, wow, that was, like, a kind of a shitty time or that was kind of a challenge. And just say to her, will you be with me today? Will you tell me what it's like to be you? Will you tell me what it felt like when that embarrassing thing happened at school? Like, just tell me. And sometimes that can bring a little bit more authentic connection to the emotion because you're really letting her speak. You're bringing in those places that may feel tender. So give that a try.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Hillary.
I have a symptom that feels to me, I mean, Nicole, you know, I go back to Dr. Sarno. I've been in this world a long time, in and out, in and around it. And I have a symptom that is you in one area and doesn't, I've never thought of it as really a problem. I always thought of it as just a dance injury and I would stretch it and it was fine. And it's still there and it's annoying and it feels really like not TMS. It feels like scar tissue. It's not as, but I don't know, you know, I want to go to a TMS based physical therapist or some answer to find that out only because it starts to wear away at the belief part of what part can I wear lightly and what part just isn't going to get better because of the old scar tissue and oh well, you know, when is it working? You know what I'm saying? Asking?
Yeah. Here's the thing. If it were indeed a scar tissue issue, Sorry, I'm a poet. Would that even matter? Like, this is what I'm trying to say. Like, if there was a surgery that someone said, for sure, this eliminates your pain. It's just a little scar tissue. We go in, we remove it, and you'll be pain-free forever, which, by the way, no one's saying to you, I promise. Then it would be actually something to focus on. But if it's one of those things, and I am not a medical doctor, I know nothing about scar tissue, but if it's one of those things where indeed it's just part of your physiology now, and so be it, then like stop giving it any meaning. I would definitely not go to physical therapy. That is the certainest way to like be super focused on it. If it's keeping you from functioning, that's a different story. But if it's like a little irritation that you stretch it out and whatever, please just release. Do this TMS work. I know, Hillary, you've been with us a while. I know you've made improvements. I know that you see this benefit in your life. Just allow it. Like, so much of this has to do with us not giving so much fear energy over to things. It's so essential. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't get checked out. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't employ any resource you want. But my gut reaction to what you're saying in the number of months I've known you is just, oh, if it's something that's not getting in your way of life, don't allow it to be that alarm that is stealing your focus, because then you're just dousing the alarm and the fire is raging behind you. Just continue to walk this path with peace and with kindness and with compassion for yourself, and do the work, obviously. And I actually think you could be astonished that something that you have attached so much meaning to and something so physical could actually fade away.
Well, that's kind of what I thought, but I needed to hear, because so many other things connect. And when something doesn't connect, then I start to, I don't know. I get into my head.
I know, and we all do. And that's why it's just so essential to make sure that you pause and say, is this really, life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. That's the theme today. Is this really something that I would like to give my energy to? And I'm going to say, it doesn't sound like something that's hugely beneficial.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, guys, we're going to end the podcast there. So thank you guys for being my wonderful Q&A for this week's podcast. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast, and I will see you then. Bye-bye.